Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors. Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay. And tonight's broadcast will be the Moorish Americans in the UN today. We want to try to gather as much information on how this thing's put together, what's going on with the Moors, and there are quite a few questions that we're going to deal with this evening involving the Moors and as a government. Our guest this evening will be Dr. Akhenaten Peart Emhyeru, Tutankhamun-based, better known as Swift Angel Number One, the Divine Minister of the Moorish American National Government. And he's going to be answering questions. We want to try to discover who are the players of the UN that has a sign off on the Moorish American National Government so that they can become a nation. What does self-determination mean when it comes to the Moorish nation? Do the Moors have any legal basis to claim their territory? What are the long-term goals of the Moorish American National Government? These questions and more will be answered here this evening, but I'm going to go ahead and get the announcements out of the way before we go directly on into the broadcast. We are offering the 14th Amendment Exposed as well as the Commerce Game to people who are new and who want to know more about what's going on inside the United States involving your Constitution and how you're being affected by this kind of stuff. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. And at any given point in time you want to go back and re-listen to this broadcast, you simply go to ancientblacksinasia.blogspot.com. That's ancientblacksinasia.blogspot.com. Now, for those of you who are on Facebook, now I've been locked out of Facebook. They said that I've committed some terrible sin by befriending people of my own race. However, if you want to have access to my wall where you can listen to these broadcasts and deal with other information that we put there for your education, you simply contact me or send me a friend request on Facebook, and I'll grant that for you, then that gives you access. And we want to let you know that we are on other places such as Black Planet and MySpace, Dig, and StumbleUpon, and the Drop Squad, and where our broadcasts are posting automatic feeds. So I had to just go there and go to my wall there, go to my main page there. And you can listen to this broadcast anytime you get ready, and previous broadcasts, because we have a large widget placed there, so you can listen to broadcasts one after the other. Also, if you want to find out everything else and every place else that we are, you just simply type my name into your browser, Google that, and that's spelled Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, Elbey, E-L and then B-E-Y. And I think we got about 3 or 4 pages there, maybe more than that. And all the places that we are in the articles that we have posted for your education can be found by going to Google that name into your browser. To learn more about the Moorish American National Government, you go to moorishamericangov.org, or you can go to sevenseelspublications.com. And if you want to register as a citizen for your own government, you go there to either of those sites, and the registration information page is there. And you simply put your information in. But before you click send, make sure that you check the box below and put all your family members in there. I mean, everybody that you can think of that's your family member, put it there. And that way they can become citizens of the government. Now, the Moorish American National Government holds this national conference call 7 days a week at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when you dial in. And on Wednesday night, the Divine Minister and Grand National Chairman himself is teaching. And you dial in 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966-pound. And that's Wednesday night when he teaches. And, of course, the national conference call is held 7 days a week. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, just simply press star 6 on your phone to speak, or star 6 to mute. Now, on Tuesday night is when the ladies are teaching. Of course, we have brothers there as well. And that number to dial is 619-566. 7442, and the access code is 101-5555-pound. Okay, 619-566 7442, and the access code is 101-5555-pound. Now, the Divine Minister is the author of 2 books. One of the books is called Noble Druid Ali, The Illumination of a Nation, and you can have access to those books by going to sevenseelspublications.com, or you can get it at moorishamericangov.org. And also, the Book of Ali is available at these websites as well. So if you want to get a hold of those, and I must recommend that every man, woman, and child in this country of Moorish descent or African descent should read these books. Okay? Now, I see we have a hand raised. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line and let's see. We have area code 434. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, and what's your question and comment?
Islam, Dr. Hacker, Divine Minister, Dr. Pleasant Bay, checking in.
Okay, peace, my brother. Peace, peace. Okay, yes, sir.
All right.
I'm fine. Well, we might as well go ahead and get started. So if you would, let's give thanks to the prophet and to our Creator, and we'll follow your lead on this.
Well, okay. Well, as you were leading, we must always give praises to the Creator, the one who made us, the gods that we are, and give honor to the Prophet Noble Druid Ali for teaching us how to return back to that divine state of being ourselves by knowing ourselves. So we extend honor to all the prophets that came before him, although he came 5 times greater than all of them. So, and that's the reason for that, because we were buried 5 times deeper than anybody else. But we're going to have a grand time tonight. I appreciate this opportunity. And I understand that you was dealing with a subject matter, dealing with the Moors at the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
This is in compliance with the directives of the divine directive of Noble Druid Ali himself. Noble Druid Ali has also been... should I say, confused with mortal leaders. That is to say that Moors have sought various local avenues in claiming that this was the pathway of the Prophet Noble Druid Ali. They've become members of various organizations and groups and cliques, even gangs, but to no avail. This is not the true path of any prophet. The duty of a prophet has always been the same, from all the way from Adam to Ali. And there have been hundreds of prophets in between, and the major prophets, that is, thousands to say the least. But and the one duty that all the prophets share combined is the fact that they are sent and raised from amongst the very people that they are sent to save. That is the duty of a prophet, to save their people as a nation from the violations of sin, in other words, violations of being against the universal order of things, of existence, of life. And anytime you go against the universal grain, then you're going to end up in some kind of trouble, be it a chastisement of slavery, war, it could be genocide, famines, diseases, illnesses, it could be any number of wrath that will befall the people as a result of them going against the universal order of things. Now, we as Africans, descendants, we should know better, because no one is closer to being God than the Africans. And the reason why, because Africans are the first people to take on, they're the first gods to take on human form. And as a result of that, we, of all people, should know better. But here of late, we've gotten so far off the course, which ultimately led to the worst system of slavery that has ever been instituted against the people. And that was, it was real bad. A lot of us today, because we have cell phones and televisions, and cars that can exceed 100, 150 miles an hour or so, we have a tendency to forget about that slavery still exists, and that the fallout and the ramifications, as the sister calls it, the post-traumatic slave syndrome, is still in full effect here in the West. And so what happened when Noble Drew Ali came on the scene, he too came to fulfill the duties of a prophet by returning us as a people, as a nation of people. And this is key, to return us as a nation of people. The first thing we had to do was reconnect ourselves with the other nations of the human family. That's the first and foremost task that he assigned to us to do. After the first job was to learn and know about the self. Know thyself. This is one of the most foremost ancient of all instructions that was, should I say, was the at the very key curriculum throughout ancient Egypt, throughout Africa, throughout the entire fall of man, was to know thyself. So once this is done, then with the knowledge of the self, then you had to be the self that you know. And that would bring you into the consciousness of being a nation of people. Well, being a nation of people is a lot more simpler than what it is that the Moors have make it, will assess it to be today. And I would have to lean a little bit into that, because Moors try to make it so complicated. But all it is, it's a matter of either you want to be a slave or you want to be a free person. It's just that simple. You either want to be a human or you want to be God. You either want to be fallen humanity or you want to be a resurrection of the God state. It's just a matter of what the choice is yours. And it's very simple. But Moors, they have a tendency to hold on to the things that has been guaranteed to hold them down, absolute short of the mark of redemption, of being themselves as gods, being themselves at the highest level of consciousness that could bestow any human. And in fact, so much so that once you hit the highest level, you won't even need the body that tough. You don't have to feed it. You don't have to do nothing, because you can actually raise the body to the flesh to a higher tone once you learn who you are. So anyway, Noble Drew Ali came to return us back to the as a national set, as a nation of people. And the reason why this was such a task, was what we made into a task, is because the there was, throughout the entire 400 years of slavery here in the West, there was meticulous care given to separation of the Moors from themselves and everything and everybody else on the planet. There was no unity for anything. In fact, the schedule that was bestowed upon us as slaves was so inconsistent that we couldn't even now unify a daily schedule to say, well, we had to get up this time of the day, or we had to go to bed at a certain time of the day. We had to do whatever it was that was we was called to do by the slave master. So we had no concept. We were divided by families. We were not allowed to be husbands. We were not allowed to wives. The women were not allowed to be wives. They were not allowed to be parents to the children. And even and although that may sound during the time of slavery now, but it exists right now here in 2011 as a result of not being a people, a nation of people. You have really no powers to rule a family, to control a family and its own, should I say, future. There's really no heritage there. There's nothing that would constitute the stability of a family. You have nothing. You have no schools in which to teach the children how to be themselves, same as their forefathers were yesterday. You don't have schools for that. You don't have any kind of schools of higher learning where that men can learn how to be men. In fact, little is it known to the Moors in the fallen state that you can't even be a man or a woman without being a nation first, having a nation with its own sovereign powers of a government, its own constitution, its own land, everything, the laws, the courts, everything that every other nation have to sustain itself as a people. And if you do not have this, you cannot call yourself a man, because no matter what you do, the credit is being taken by another. Most of the so-called men that we have today, without being a nation, is whatever it is that you can control that's in the territories of another system, another government, another corporation. This is my corner. This is my city. This is my community, my neighborhood. This is this. When in actuality, you don't own anything, including the very clothes that you put on your back. We don't have any factories that we own, stores, nothing. You know, we may be a retailer here and there, but we still don't own anything. We don't design our own clothes. We don't even feed our own selves, because we don't have it's just bad. It's just being nationless. So Drew Ali, his primary thing was to save us as a people. And there are all kinds of signs around us to show that we are a people. In fact, the very system of slavery at its worst, the one thing that it did do, it showed you everybody who was a slave. Okay, now, and so that's why there is highly distinguishable. If you look for any good in slavery, it would have to be the fact that slavery united us as a people, as one people. If you want to know who the Morris Americans are, find out, just check the record and see, well, who was made a slave here in the West. And if, no, it doesn't matter who your forefathers were. A lot of people try to hide behind them being Indians and Cherokees and what have you, your Manches and things. Nope, that's not it. Okay? If you were the enslaved, as, I mean, everybody from Prince Hall to Robert Love Hill, if you remained nationless, then you were a slave. It doesn't make any difference. That's the one thing about slavery, that it, if you want to look for any good in it, It united us as a people. It made no distinction. I mean, it distinguishes the Moors, who are the Moors people, from everybody else. If you have any doubt as to who you are, check the record and see, were you, your parents, your forefathers, were you slaves? And if you were slaves here in the West at any time within the last 400 years, there's a good possibility that your forefathers descended from North or Southwest Africa. Oh, yeah, you are Moor. You're definitely Moorish. Okay, and so that's the one thing that you can find good out of it. And Noble Dwali says, look, come together under one free national name, under one free national constitution. Oh, by the way, your free national name is your nationality, by the way. So every nation on earth is formed together because they're all of one family bearing one free national name. And our free national name is Moorish American. Make no mistake about it. You call yourself anything other than a Moorish American, then you're playing with your freedom. You're playing with the truth. In fact, you are playing with slavery, because there's only two things in the world, especially today. Either you are coming out of slavery as a free person under one free national name, under one free national constitution, or you're playing games with slavery, playing slave games, even in the midst of consciousness. We have Moors now that is studying overtime all the laws and the regulations of the federal system of the United States, how to get in and out of its courts, how to break the bars of the traffic codes. If you get a traffic ticket, a traffic violation, because you got a right to travel, then here's the code. Here's how you stand up in there. Just go to the European traffic court and do this and say that, and you won't have to worry about paying no tickets and no fines. Or you ain't got to worry about paying. Just move into this house, and it's yours because you're indigenous. And a lot of things about learning the laws of another man's government. But the thing about it is, you have no protection of your own. If you do not have a government of your own, a nation without your own constitution, then you do not have any protection to offer your children. The men can't call themselves men because there's no nation to back them up with. There's no sovereign power. For example, the traffic courts or any other courts that I just spoke about, you run out them European courts all you want to. The prophet clearly said, do not take your affairs to the European courts. He had a reason for that, because your affairs belong to the Moorish system, number one. So why would you take that which is free into the very courts that enslaved you for 400 years? There's no freedom in any of the United States courts for the Moorish Americans as a nation of people. Okay? If anything, you can get them to pay the debt that they owe you, but you can't do that unless you are a people too. There's no reparations given to slaves or any other nationless people. So we have to honor Noble Dwali for showing us the right way. And the reason why we go to the UN is because, according to his directions, that we are to link ourselves with the nations of the earth. And the only way to do that, you first of all, you got to become a nation yourself. That's number one. And so Dwali said also, which is the subtitle of my latest book, The Book of Ali, the subtitle is that I bought you everything and take to save a nation. Okay, that's the subtitle. And this is exactly what he did. He brought the Moorish Americans everything. I mean, he didn't leave a stone unturned. Everything it takes to save us as a nation of people. The only catch is, as he stated, now you take it and you save yourself. So that means that can't nobody free you but you. You are not going to free yourself hanging around the different little NGOs, these non-governmental organizations. And this is not speaking negative. I hear a lot of people say, President, you talk about the Moorish Science Temple? No, I'm not talking about the Moorish Science Temple. The difference between the Moorish Science Temple and the Nation of People is like night and day. Okay? One will grow into the other. But if you just like being in the night, stay in the night. But the Morrison Temple will never, ever be a nation of people. Neither will the Great Seal and no other organization. You got to get away from that organization mentality and realize that, look, you have got to be, look at the people of the Sudan, Egypt, anywhere on Ghana, anywhere on earth, China, Japan. These people, they're not into, although they got dojos, they got masjids, they got synagogues and what have you, you know. But that's sideline stuff. That's some of the attributes of that nation. That is not the nation. That is not the government. Okay? No nation of people is that religion only. They are a nation first, and they elect or they choose their own religion, how they're going to serve their own God. So when it comes down to the to obeying the lesson of Drew Ali, we've got to realize that we are a nation of people. We must, and all you got to do is look around. Whatever any other nation has, you should look for yours, because it's there somewhere. Drew Ali brought it to you. Okay? And all these other leaders, I'm not downing them, but they ain't been nowhere, and if they did, they didn't bring back nothing when they did. Okay? Drew Ali was the only one that went all the way to Africa, Egypt to be exact. Like all other prophets before him, I'm Adam, Abraham, Solomon, Jesus, anybody, all of them had to, include Muhammad, had to either go to Egypt or an angel from Egypt went to them and gave them the same exact teaching that Noble Drew Ali brought to us, which into a land. And Brother Tahaka, this is very important. When Drew Ali came back from Egypt, Islam was completely outlawed and forbidden in the United States and anywhere else in the West. Okay? Far north as Canada, anywhere, okay? It was forbidden. You could not bring a Quran. You could not, they better not catch you prostrating and in unison, okay? If you knew anything about Islam, you had to keep it to yourself. If they caught you teaching or practicing or something like that, it was doomsday. It was a national outcry. There would be nothing Islamic here in the confines of the United States. If you came off a ship with a Quran, you had to throw it overboard, or if you came off a plane, it declared at the port of authority. It didn't make no difference what country you came from. Islam was forbidden. And up until the advent of Noble Drew Ali, it was completely forbidden. So he broke that barrier down. And the reason why, how he was able to do that, because he has so much authority being recognized as a prophet by not just the Holy City, Egypt, Cairo, Jordan, all the way across Morocco. Everybody recognized Noble Drew Ali and what it was that he was to bring. And he brought it all to the Moors. But the main thing that he brought was a consciousness. They were not Negro, colored, or black, or African-American, or any other kind of organization or group, okay? And so these other leaders that had served under Noble Drew Ali and they went off to teach other black ideas or Christian things, they knew better. They knew better, just like a lot of Moors today. They know better than to say, well, the nation is inside of the Moor Science Temple. The government is inside the Moor Science Temple. Why we got to be the only people on earth that the whole nation is inside of an organization? And the organization, according to Noble Drew Ali, if you look at the, and I'm trying to clarify the UN when I say this, when you look at the nation that he, organization that he founded in his Quran, he said that he had the charter for the Moor Science Temple, which he was the founder now, okay? He started way back in 1913, and one of his first students was J.A. Rogers, and then it went on up from there. But anyway, he went on to say that he had a lawfully chartered organization, and he had the charter to issue to every state throughout the United States. Now, bear in mind now, when you got a charter that issue out through another man's government, if he had a charter to issue out through France, throughout the totality of France, then the charters had to receive what? Permission from France in order for that organization to function. It was under the French rule. Like so, it was under the United States rule. That's where his people was buried at. According to the 14th, 15th Amendment, they were buried in slavery again, extended slavery. And so he developed an organization right where they was buried at, right in a very shallow grave where they was at. They didn't know how to raise their head up. And couldn't, and they would pray, but couldn't nobody hear them pray. Until Nova Drew Ali founded Morris Science Temple, under the very constitution of the very people that enslaved his people. That was the old ancient law that says, look, when I come, I will prepare a place, a table before you in the very presence of your enemy. So that means a table has upon it everything that you need to eat, everything. Like he said, he brought you everything it takes to save a nation. So the table that he prepared for you had everything on it that you needed for you to become free and a nation of people. So the reason why we're going to the U.S., actually, we're not going directly to the U.S. We're going directly to Geneva. To Geneva, Switzerland, today, is the same, that's how we put this down. It is the same as Egypt was being the capital dominion of the civilized world in those days. Up until 1776, Egypt was the capital, okay? And when it was conquered by the Europeans, they developed what they call the Great Seal. And on that, in Roman numerals, they had 1776 at the bottom of it. And that let you know that Egypt was no longer the capital of the world. For that, the most neutral and capital of the world today is Geneva, The Hague, because The Hague is Netherlands. It's most like the Supreme Court of the world. It's like the judicial system of that protects Geneva. Okay, the United Nations. In other words, Geneva holds the roots of the tree, the entire family tree for every nation on earth. Who they are, how they got there, what land they had to occupy, who the forefathers were. This is what Egypt had, because Egypt was the one that dispensed out all the different nations. If you wanted to sell in any kind of land anywhere on earth, you had to get the authorization from Egypt. Okay? And that's the power that they had. But that power has been temporarily into the hands of Geneva, Switzerland. That's why we're going there first. Geneva has the same mandate that Nova Drew Ali acquired in 1927 when he went down to the Pan American Conference. Was it 28? I'm a whole year ahead of time. He got Marcus Garvey out of the penitentiary in 27. It was 28 when they had the Pan American Conference. And there he received the mandate showing because he was the one that declared that we're a nation of people. Okay? And during that time, everybody else who was there honored Elhaj Sharif Abdul Ali, Nova Drew Ali to us, as who he was. He was not just a patriot. He was not just the first conscious Morris American. He was a holy prophet. And everybody knew it. Just his name alone, Elhaj Sharif Abdul Ali, just that name alone told everybody exactly who he was. And that, because you didn't have that name running around North America no any kind of way. Okay? If you had an Elhaj, you better be real quiet with it. Man, you better not be too anxious to run up to no authority like the governors and the presidents and the prime ministers and whatnot, you know. So anyway, this is the reason why the Morris America today are dizzy. And we had, you know, a couple of shortfalls, you know, a couple of Moors, like they thought they knew more than the prophet and they fell by the wayside. But today we're blessed to have a staff Moore is with us today, that is willing to take on the burden and incur it to the shoulder. All 60 million people, 60 million of our people, into nation time. And that's the name of the game. Nationhood is nation time. Nothing else, anything else short of that will not do. Anything short of being a nation is slavery. So this is the reason why we're going back. That's the only way to go, the only way to link ourselves with the nation of the earth. We've got to first be a nation. And the only way that we can separate ourselves from slavery is to be independent and sovereign, be that nation of people. And actually, when it comes to our homeland, we're standing on it. We own the Americas. In fact, the Moorish Empire extended everything west of Egypt, where Egypt is today, Kemet, everything west. It was a demarcation line divided between old man Ham and his son. Okay, and even before that, it was the Moors that was inhabiting and setting up kingdoms like Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Morocco, everything up and down the northwest, southwest, and south of Africa, all of the Atlantic Ocean, all of the Atlantic Islands, all the Americas, all this right here is the Moorish Empire. And it was founded by our forefathers. We set up every nation, every kingdom that there is. The only one we didn't set up is the one that's under the present rule now, that was ruled by Spain, France, and Britain. And that's right here in Canada, the United States. Okay? But it's still our land. Okay. That's a little brief thing.
Well, I certainly appreciate that detailed information, and that sheds a lot of light on a whole lot of different things. As the foundation for where we are and where we have come to at the brink of the of Geneva and the UN, is it possible for you to give us any information on what was contained in our charter? Is that a good idea to discuss that, or could you elaborate on that?
No, when I spoke about the charter, I spoke about the Moorish Science Temple. But I think you had reference to the mandate.
Okay.
The Prophet acquired when he was at the Pan American Conference.
Okay.
I think that's what you had reference to. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second. Yeah, answer that right there. And you probably look for that folder more here. Thank you. Okay, that was Brother Hodgson Mean trying to call that. But that mandate, what it was, it showed the ownership almost like a deed. Okay? It showed you who exactly founded and who occupied the land now that they call the Americas. That was the mandate, okay? Michael, step in there, please. Okay?
That's
in Geneva. And okay. The only way you're going to get the mandate, okay, there's a lot of, been some little groups of Moors pilly-patting around, trying to get, talking about they got the mandate and things, okay? But no. The mandate is only going to be given to us as a nation of people. I'm not talking a little teeny group. Like, you got a few little Washitas here, Wichitas over there, Samoans over there. No, that's not it. Okay? The people may acknowledge you as being the rightful owner or indigenous to the land or sovereign to the land, things like that, but that does not include all 60 million of us. And I have to say this purely, I'm going to say it anyway. There's some Moors who think they're so far ahead of this thing that they actually think that they really, and have stated it, they are here simply to enslave those Moors who do not know that they are free and independent and sovereign. Okay? In other words, they're here to mainly, since they think they are more conscious of being a Moor, they want to enslave those who do not know they're Moor, which means like just a few. Say they so used to be enslaved, we should own them. They're ours anyway. Now, I've heard this stated by those who think they are leaders, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This whole mandate can only be acquired by a recognized government representing and acknowledging all 60 million more in America, whether they know it or not. It doesn't. If you don't come with it that way, you're not getting the mandate. And those who think they got it, all you got to do is ask them to show it. And how come the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the United States administration don't move over and give it to you then? Because that's what they're going to have to do once you get the mandate. Okay?
See. Well, I was looking over some things with the Moorish American National Government, and I was trying to get a clear understanding on the type of how will we be going about dealing with the literature and getting literature and stuff in the hands of our people, the printed materials and stuff of that nature. Could you give us some insight on how we're planning on doing that?
Well, sure. One of the things is that Nobles Raleigh also knew, because every prophet brings up, okay, and being that, hold on a second. Let me call him again. It's the number right there. Okay. Great. So where was I at? Okay, yeah, every prophet brings a book, okay? And this is how he began to uplift his people, was by teaching them. This is why it's so important. The media is of supreme importance when it comes down for a new nation coming into itself, okay? It's of supreme importance. For example, when you look at the president of the United States, even before when it was a sovereign government, before then it was the colonies. But if you look and see who they had in their cabinet before they even had a constitution, they had one that was at, had his own newspaper. Was it Benjamin Franklin? Okay? Had their own newspaper and the printers and everything. Okay? And this was the media. They had to print out the word, whatever it was that they voted on, whatever was the decision they had to make, and they were spread out throughout the rest of the colonies until they were able to come together. And ultimately, they end up with the Declaration of Independence. That was printed off also. Okay? So we have today a similar thing, where that we have a master printer who is now instructing some brothers in the institution. Throughout the state of Maryland, he's doing a tremendous work for Department of Transportation. And he knows how to operate all kinds of printing groups. And also, he's a master at the Macintosh computer system, so much so that he actually builds them. And you can get them almost, he'll build them for you $200 or $300, okay? But anyway, the main thing is that we're now currently in the midst of acquiring the printers and things for our master printers so that we can, too, dispense literatures amongst our people. These are teaching instruments. We're not here to promote a lot of religious stuff and say we're talking about those things that's necessary to teach your children, your wives, the men, how to be free. Okay? So, in doing so, we're now in the midst of buying printing equipment so that we can get off the ground. You know, and enjoy this freedom that we have and that we are. So, yeah, I'm glad that you asked that because you can go to our website, MorrisAmericanGov.org, and that's Morris American Government, but it's abbreviated, MorrisAmericanGov.org. You can go there and make a donation towards this great task of being able to print our own literatures. And it will be led off by the book of Ali, because every prophet brings a book, and his book is made of the chapters 45, 6, 7, and 8 of his Quran, but it all has to do with his people. All those four chapters have to do explicitly with his people, but we have the commentaries and everything, exactly what he meant when he assigned his people to do certain things, and also to let you know the condition of the world. Right now, every world is suffering and looking for peace, but they don't know how to bring peace. But we do, and we're going to show the world how to bring peace on this earth, okay? We can show them how to do it, because in order for us to be a nation of people without any pocket knives and guns and things, we're going to have to show the whole world how we did it, and they can do it too. If we can come and raise ourselves as 60 million strong as a nation of people from under the grip, the Roman yoke and law of the United States of these Americas, that we can show the rest of the nation of how to do it also. And you don't need no missiles and no silos and all that. You don't need that. Okay? And say, so if you look at the condition of the earth now, good gracious, you really don't want that no more. Look at what they talking about, arsenic in getting the food now. Just to mention, you know, Noble Dwali said that the European food ain't nothing but poison anyway.
Well, if I wanted to give a donation to help with the printing, how would I do that? Just go to MoorishAmericanGov.org?
Oh, yeah. There's a little slot there on the left side of the website. And, you know, which you accept your donations, no matter how, you know, how great or how small. But it's all honored. You can go right there. And MoorishAmericanGov.org to the website. And just make it straight up to the Morris American government, okay? And it would all go towards the printing equipment. And you're going to receive a certificate. And if you're real good about it, you get a copy of the Book of Ali with it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all heard that. So there's a slot there for us to give any type of donations that we want to get to help with the effort and the printing materials issued to us by our own government, opposed to having somebody else's newspaper that's designed to benefit them, and we are consumers. I want to mention something here. My next question would be, because I've heard you mention the word determination, self-determination. How does that play out with us as a people in regards to being a nation and our government?
Self-determination is a birthright. Okay, it's self-determination is honored and it's written about many times over in the UN Charter, the United Nations Charter, and it really keeps them afloat. Okay, self-determination is a right that a people have to preserve itself, to preserve its integrity, its heritage, its dignity, its sovereignty. This is self-determination, and it's only found amongst people, the peoples of the earth. To know thyself is one thing, but the self-determination is expressed within a nation. Okay? And we as a people, that's the one reason why segregation and separation has been so successful amongst the Moors, because as long as they're like that, as long as they turn against each other, they would not come together and realize self-determination. Okay? Self-determination is the exercise of freedom, of the right of freedom, that can only be acknowledged by an indigenous people, meaning a nation of people, a group of people who have sovereign power, who have family or descendant nature as a heritage. Okay, this is when you begin talking about self-determination. That's a powerful thing, and it also is that right to self-determination it is all consuming. It's almost like endless when it comes down to the rights that you have as a people. Whenever you attempt to aim yourself as far as unity, it gives you the glory of having knowledge about the territory of the lands in which you are, that you own, in which you are able to feed yourself, you're able to house yourself and clothe yourself from the lands. You're able to acknowledge and to exalt treaties with other sovereign nations and neighbors. You're able to exchange things with them. All this is as a result of having a self-determination. So this is something here that we have gone over extensively, and we're going to be doing it some more within the next week or so within our classes. We have classes 7 days a week, and with these classes, self-determination right now is on the big table, and it's something that cannot be reiterated too much. More as we have to come together, and when you're together, because everybody will start recognizing self-determination. You can't find it in a group, in an organization. You can't find it in no religious group. Okay. And I do want to speak about that, the type of government that we have, because a lot of Moors have been taken off, fooled, because we've come up under what they call a democracy, mm-hmm. or a republic, to the republic for which it stands, okay? And we have been faked out as to thinking that this is the type of government that it takes to sustain the world. But anytime you have a government that can be controlled by the whims of man, that government is subject to fall. It's not going to last. Okay, you have to key yourself with a government that has a perpetual and unlimited reigns in order to guide and protect its citizens. And that government had to be a theocracy. And the theocratic governments are not new. But it has been a long time since they've been enforced with purity and cleanliness. Those who are familiar with the world of Judaism, then you've seen those who are familiar with theocracy. In a theocratic government, where you have officials in the government, as a rule, you have ministers instead. In Judaism, they call their officials, they call them rabbis. In the world of Islam, they call their officials imams, okay? But you must be an official. In order to be an official of the government, you must be a minister, because under the theocratic government, then you're being demanded and controlled by the universal order of things. In other words, you must be harmonious with the universal order as well as with fallen humanity. And there's an equal balance between the two, because within every man there is a God. And that harmoniousness will come through the theocracy. That's why ministers are there to dispel the laws of any theocratic government. The Moors have a theocratic government. All you got to do is look at the titles of everything they have, and you find out that everything they have is sacred. Like, they got a divine constitution. In their holy Quran, they have holy instructions. When it comes to the people themselves, they are described as a group of people. They're described as a clean and pure nation. All of these are infinite attributes and titles describing a theocratic government. Okay? So, with under this auspices, this gives the Moors even more right to exercise self-determination, because when you realize that you have got to get back to your God state, then and all other men are looking to do the same, because when men become imbalanced and without the knowledge, the fact that they are God, then they become very evil in the structure of their character. and it doesn't matter, like it is with most of the nations of Europe, it doesn't bother them to kill. And even in the so-called theocratic governments today, they'll say Allah Akbar in some circle there and take your head off a split second after that. They'll praise God on one hand and kill a God with another. That is not peace. That's not theocracy, okay? And you can't poison the food and call yourself saving humanity, okay? You can't feed people poison. Just as the literature says, you know, like the Quran says, you must be able to give the people that which is harmonious with their nature. It's in the nature of man to be God. Anytime he's not being himself, he's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. He's going to have headaches. He don't like his surroundings, condition. And it's hard for him to get along with other people. Why? Because he's out of pocket himself.
Right.
This is what we have about our self-determination. And we are the highest level of self-determination because the knowledge of the self as God is key. That's the very first order, Dwali said, who made you? Okay, that's the very first order. And so when you know that you're God, then you won't do the things. You won't be player-hating and hater-mode tactics and, you know, hate a B&L, hate another brother, or Pleasant Bay haters or whatever the case is. But you won't have that, okay?
Okay. Now, this is something that I want to try to make sure that I put out on the table because I have been looking over a lot of the titles and stuff that a lot of brothers have. And I wanted to know, does the Moorish American National Government have grand sheiks? And if so, because I wanted to ask that to see because I was approached by brothers before, and they made it clear to me that they were grand sheiks. And I wanted to know who made you a grand sheik. Could you elaborate on that for us,
Nelson? A sheik is a title of an officer of a nation of people. It's similar to being like an ambassador. Okay?
Okay,
you represent a nation of people, but you could also go throughout the world as a sheik, okay, and representing that the special nation, you know how to be harmonious with other nations.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. Very important because a sheik in the real world, and I have to make that distinction. They are not only nationals and have their own nation and their own government, but they also are trusted with the harmonies of life, knowing how to express things that will lead towards treaties or harmonies amongst families and other governments. Like I say, a sheik is really an attaché or like an ambassador. They're heads of embassies and things that is consulate. Now, when it comes down to grand sheiks, these are titles that was introduced by Noble Drew Ali for the Moors within the Moor Science Temple. But you have to understand that a lot of the things that the Prophet brought to the Moors, even during that time, it was mostly like for me, it's for practice. For example, when you would join the Moorish Science Temple, and then that he found it, it was, if you look at the national ID card that he had, it says, this is your nationality and identification card for the Moorish Science Temple of America, period. Then it would go on and speak about the prophets and other things. But the first part, that first sentence right there, lets you know that every organization has membership cards, okay? And so as you move within the ranks of the organization, then you not only you learn the different degrees of membership. Just like if you join the NAACP, you got different degrees of membership. Okay, you be a member at this level, and then you become an official, And if you are real good, you might be end up becoming the president. Okay? So it's a different category. But what happened is that the Moors have assumed that because you're in the organization and you have the title of Bayanil, or you know a little bit about this or the Quran about that, then you can be the Grand Sheikh. Or you can be a Sheikh, or you can be an ADAP and all this other kind of stuff. These things are practice. As long as you're in an organization, it doesn't mean anything. It has no credibility on the side of nationhood. In other words, when you go to another nation, it don't mean anything. Why? Because they don't want to know who you represent. And you say, I'm the Grand Sheikh of Temple Number 59. All right, okay. So that is to say that when it comes down to a government, like the North American government, we put the word national in there, like M-A-N-G, the North American National Government. We put that word in there, national, it's not everlasting. We just did that so that the Moors would recognize the type of government that they have and the fact that with the root word for national is nation. But the actual title for it is just Moorish American government. That's the real title. Just like the United States government. Okay, you don't have to say United States national government. Okay? So, but we use that right now so that the Moors once we get recognized as a people, then we'll drop that word national and we'll just be the Moorish American government. Okay? And here in the government, you have one national Grand Sheikh. Okay? That's it. He's like the president, like the sultan, whatever the case, he or she, okay, as it may be. You also have, in other words, for you to be a sheikh, a bona fide sheikh, a verified sheikh, be it no matter what kind of sheikh you want to talk about, then you first must be a citizen of a recognized government. That's why we don't use the word sheikh too tough, even at this level. Why? Because we are formulating ourselves as a government in order so that we can be recognized, get our people recognized as a nation. Okay? You can't do that. You can't be recognized as a people without a government. So that's why we're doing it step by step the way it's supposed to be done. But once we become recognized, we have sheikhs everywhere. But it won't be one national grand sheikh. Okay, one grand sheikh of the nation. That's like you got a lot of presidents and things running around, but you ain't got one president of the United States. Okay?
Right.
You've got, on the other hand, you've got different other leaders, but the one thing to be an official of the government, the theocratic government, you must be a divine minister. Okay? Well, not only that, but you, before you can do that, you will become a sheikh, but you may be a sheikh in the community. Okay? You may be a sheikh that's instructing a class of sixth graders. Okay? Well, you still have to be a divine minister. But as a sheikh, you may have the capacity for moving abroad and contacting other nations, or you may have to go nationwide within your own government. Okay? So to be a sheikh would mean just that. You have the capacity to be independent. Okay? But you're also trusted as a government official. Because being a sheikh, it's like I made a statement earlier, that you cannot be a man or a woman without being a nation. And I know a lot of people say, well, how in the world? That's not true. But all what you have to do is check. All right. Check the record worldwide and see that you fit the program as all others whose title you now carry. Okay? So, for example, if you make any kind of magnanimous or magnificent contribution to the world, no matter what it is, you know, you could be the founder of something, you're this great athlete about this, that, or the other, like the world, like the Olympics or something, anything, then the first thing they want to know, what was the feat or the event that this person acquired, okay? Then the next thing they want to know, well, what's his name, her name? And to hold up everything, what country are they from, okay? What country did it represent? That's what's going to give them credibility, is the government or the country that they are from, that they're actually representing. Okay, that's what gives them the stance. Now, to prove to you how accurate this is, a lot of things happen we take for granted. If you take any tribe or small tribe or people or nation, and then for whatever reason, this particular woman or man did do something that the tribe just don't like. Oh, man, it was so bad. They're going to exile them. Get out of here. You ain't a tribal member no more. So they put them out. Get out of here. And once they do that, you know, he ain't got no more, well, today, he got no more cell phone. He can't get on Facebook no more. But anyway, the main thing is that without the protection of his own government, without the recognition of his own people, where would he go? Then he's subject, he or she is subject to all the misuses and abuses that the other people are scared to bestow upon him. Okay? When they get out there and the other people find out, wait a minute, you're not one of us, then who are you supposed to be with? And where the rest of them at? And that's when they find out that you are by yourself and all yell and break loose, okay? Because you ain't got no protection. No protection. So it's the same thing with being a sheikh. If you do not have a nation to back you up with, because people ask you that, if you go anywhere outside of the United States, I'm a sheikh, and they're going to look at you, okay, what country, what nation? You cannot be a sheikh of the First Presbyterian Baptist Church, okay? And then run off over there and in the heart of Egypt somewhere, holler about you a sheikh. It don't work like that, okay? You must be attached. If you're going to carry the title of sultan, or you're going to carry the title of president, a sheikh, a thing, then these are national titles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once we become a nation of people, recognized as a nation of people, that's when we are going to give due justice to these special titles. But without being a nation of people, we're just playing games with our own minds. It don't mean a thing. If you think I'm joking, holler yourself a grand sheikh and running one of them European courts, because you ain't got no courts of your own, no way, and tell them then, say, look, I'm the grand sheikh of Temple Number 2041. And I got a right to travel. You ain't got no jurisdiction over me. And keep right on slapping that lion in the mouth with the red meat with your grand sheikh self, and you ain't got no drawers on, stand up there slapping the lion in the mouth with no red meat, talking about you better not bite me because you ain't got no jurisdiction over me. I'm a grand sheikh. Keep it up.
Well, we got a few grand sheikhs here in Jacksonville, Florida, and I wanted to get some clarity on that. Because, you know, it seemed to be, and I want to make sure that, because if they are grand sheikhs, I'm sure that the government recognized the fact that they are grand sheikhs. But now you're telling me there's only one grand sheikh that you know of in the government. So now we have some grand sheikhs here. I think we got a few. Actually, they're all over the United States, but I'm glad we got the total clarity over that. So for those of you who are listening to this, when someone tells you they are grand sheikh, then you know what questions to ask involving this title being bestowed upon them by the government in a national status.
So, well, you know, I'll tell you something, Brother Tahakabe. One thing about this right here, and you have to take it with you with all the love that there is. Noble Dua Ali, but when he said he blessed everything, for example, Moore say, I'm a Moorish American. Okay. But what is a Moorish America without a nation, without its own government? Okay. You got other titles and other stations that was introduced to us that belongs to us now. Don't misunderstand it. You got all these, you got at least a couple of dozen, if not more, grand chiefs about in every city, if not every state, okay? As you put them all together, you might have about 200 and something grand chiefs right now, and not one nation. So what you do, for those who are grand chiefs, want to be grand chiefs, then let us come together. You want to be a grand chief real, for real, for real? Come together. Let's be one. There's 60 million of us that would love to have you be grand chief. So come on and let's get together, be a nation of people, okay, and let's exercise so we can be the successors of our forefathers and show the world what it is through our self-determination and show the what it is that we actually own here, okay? So if you really want to be a current title of grand chief, then the nation is here for you. 60 million of us, not no one or two, four or five or 50 or 60 over here and there, and this little group over here has got so much. And no, if you got something to offer to your people, think about where you got it from. Because Noble Dua Ali pulled the covers off of that too. He said, look, I'm going to leave the European here just long enough to teach you how to run a government. So if you know anything about being a grand chief, and a grand chief is a government name, a government title, okay? So if you know anything about being a real grand chief, if you know anything about being a true Moorish American, if you know anything about being an ADEP, okay, then what you do is show it off by putting all 60 million of your people together, okay, so that the rest of the world can recognize us as a people. We're already home. We ain't got to look for our land. We're already here. But 60 million more stand up at one time, what do you think the Europeans going to do? Okay? You ain't got to have no pocket knife. But anyway, that's what it is, the message to those who want to be grand chief or already grand chief to say, no problem. We got Moorish Americans. They don't know what a Moorish American is, but it sounds sweet. Okay? It sounds real good. But let's find out what is the Moorish American. Who would know what a Moorish American is? Oh, why not check with Noble Dua Ali? Since he was the first one to describe what a Moorish American is, what did he say in Act 6 of his Divine Constitution? The Moorish Americans are descendants of the ancient Moabites who inhabited the northwestern and southwestern shores of Africa. All right. So that lets you know a couple of things right there. Number one, there's a master word in that clause, and the master word is descendant. You must have a descendant nature in order to be a people, because how else could you be today who your forefathers were yesterday if you didn't descend from somewhere? Okay? Then we can put a title on it. We can call it Grand Sheik all day. Okay? So the key word here is that in order to be a Moorish American, you must not only know who a Moorish American is, you must be what a Moorish American is. This is how you climb the three-step ladder. This is how you become an ADEP. You want to really be an ADEP? Then be yourself. Show me what fruition is all about. You ain't got to prove it to me, okay? But the first step is belief, and that's what you think perhaps a Moorish American is. The second step, that's faith. And that's what means you know what a Moorish American is. But the third step is the most important one. Why? Because that's fruition. That's what you self is a Moorish American. So you want to talk about being a grand chief? Then get up off that belief and come on and be yourself. That's what I got to say about that, Brother Elbe.
All right. I think that says it all. I see we got some callers in here on the line, and I'm going to open up the line and see if they got any comments or questions. I'm going to start with area code 585. So I'm going to open this line up. Area code 585, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment? Area code 585.
Islam, Morris.
Islam, brother.
I'm Chris L. Martin, Stancil L. Just calling from the Rochester territory. Peace and love.
Peace and love, my brother. What's your question?
Peace and love.
You have a question, brother, or a comment?
Oh, yeah, I do actually have a comment. You know, me and another Moors in the Rochester territory, you know, we link up and we gather and we listen on to the conference call. We just wanted to know when we was going to be able to have someone come up here, like a divine minister, come up here and help us build up, lift all of humanity.
Okay, Ben.
I'll put it to you this way, Mo. Like the prophet said, I'm about the only one I know. I'll go anywhere. All these various temples that the Moors got, I'm probably the only Moor in the country right now going to all the Arab chambers and everything. So all you got to do is just prepare for me, send for me. I'll be there. If I can't get there, I'll make sure that some, we got divine men all over the place. I'll make sure somebody can get there to help you out.
Okay.
Be real careful because this might be one of the Moors' goddesses. Because they're biting at the bit, man. They can't. It's hard to keep the sister still.
You have another question, brother?
No, I don't have any other questions. I just like to say thank you to all the Moors and the Moors, Moors Divine National Movement. You know, saved my life.
Alhamdulillah, Mo. We love that.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, give honor to the prophet for that. Save mine, too.
To
know
the
what
prophet.
You mean.
The great God of the universe.
All right, my brother, I certainly appreciate you calling in with your questions, and I hope you got some answers. And
Islam. Peace and love.
Peace and love, my brother. Okay, I'm going to the next caller, and this is area code 313. I'm going to open up the line and see if they have any questions or comments. Area code 313. Islam, Moore, could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
My name is Brother Turner Yield. How are you?
Okay, brother. I'm just fine, brother.
Oh, I'm great. Just quiet, Muslim. We had a Grand National Chairman. Make a comment and also ask a question.
Okay.
You know, in my travels today, you know, I'm here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I'm a Moorish American, and I live the life of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. But I went to the library today, public library, where every student that travels throughout the world that comes to Grand, the university here. And I had a brother that was standing outside. When I walked up, he just seen me. He was like, I know you from somewhere. I was like, I don't really know you, brother, but at the same token, I do know you. So we went in the library. The sister, Stokes Hill, was in there waiting on me. So we go somewhere else. And the brother came with some very disturbing information. And it wasn't disturbing at that token, because when you live in a life of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and those that's outside the confinements of that would tend to have questions. And I looked at it, you know, I busted up. I sat down and I talked to the brother. He told me, he said, look, brother, I've been drinking a little bit, but I ain't seen no Moors around here, but you are more than woo woo woo, so to speak. When I say woo woo, I mean I dealt with a lot of brothers from various walks of life, say Islam, they Moors, etc. I was sit down and listen to the brother. But at the same token, but like the chairman have always taught us, it can only take a Moorish American to raise another Moorish American. in the Moore Science Temple of America, they teach us what our nationality is and our divine creed. They teach us this. But do they teach us how to live as Moors Americans? That's a question that's been in my mind for the longest. The only way that I learn how to live as a Moors American is through the Moors American National Government. That means I have respect for humanity, one. Two, what the chairman taught me, that womanhood have to be appreciated because that's where we come from. And they need our protection. They need our security. I learned this from the chairman. And as I talked to the brother, he was like, have you been to 25? He went to asking questions about this, that, and other. He kept referring to Fuqua Bay, but at that same token, and within my mind, being an adept, I already knew where the message came from. Look, I'm not pre-bargaining with nobody in the universe. I'm not here for that. I'm here for uplifting for humanity, and I'm with my government. And the question outside what I've just expressed it is this here to the chairman. What does it really, really take for our recognition? Not before the world court, the United Nations itself. What does it really take for us to be recognized? That's the question. Thank you, Brother Tahaka Bay, for allowing me to speak, and I appreciate you. Hotel.
Divine Minister, you want to answer the brother's question?
Oh, yeah, Mo. Thank you, Brother Attorney Hill. That's a very noble question, and you're going to be amazed at how simple the answer is. Love. That's what it's going to take for us to be recognized. We first have to use love. If you call, and I'm coming straight up from Acts 7, Drew Ali speaks about in order just to be a Moorish American, you got to take love and purify your own heart, purify your own mind, and get a lot of that foolishness out of there that you're running into. I know what you're talking about, okay? But that's what it takes. It takes love. We have got to learn to love it. You know, we got to stop hating. You hear me say about talking about Pleasant Bay haters. But the thing about it is that haters can't do nothing to Pleasant Bay, okay? Now, if you want to do something, try out loving me. See if you can love your people more than I do. See if you can love your people more than the prophet do. See if you can love yourself more than Allah do, okay? So I'm saying that to say that when it comes down to being a nation of people, being a government, Mo, let me tell you something. If we raise the kind of government together and we raise it off of more that can't stand each other, guess how long that's going to last? Okay?
As long as we love each other, hold up. Thank you.
They don't know how to love each other yet, and they want to come together talking about being a government. How long do you think that government's going to last? Okay? So what I'm saying is we got to have love out front, first and foremost. The same way you just speaking about how it is we got to love our women. Yeah. If the brothers don't love themselves, they won't love a woman anyway. They wouldn't know what to do with one to kiss one in the mouth. So the thing about it is, love is really the key. And I'm not talking about that carnal love, jumping up and down, falling in love, and all that kind of stuff there. I'm talking about the love divine. The same kind of love.
That's right.
The earth, the same kind of love to put the harmonies of life and justice, mercy, love, and right. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. The kind of love you can give to your children. We're going to make it.
Okay,
that's
thank
what
you.
We,
I appreciate that, brother.
We got some staff members now, including you, that we know that ain't scared and they don't mind loving one another, okay? And they can take it. No matter how many other more get weak and fall by the wayside. But that's only because the more that fall by the wayside, they in love too, but they just fell in love. That's all. They be
that's
all
right. The prophet told us about them, so we ain't worried about them. All we going to do is carry the message of love, which is our first principle. Keep that out front. That's the prophet. That's our law. You're right. You always taught me right. So no matter what may go on, what may be said, whatever, I ain't trying to hear.
Hotel, my brother. All right, we got another caller in from area code 443. I'm going to open up the line and let him in and see if we can find out who he is and where he's calling from. Area code 443, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your comment or question?
Islam,
brother.
Islam, this is Divine Minister Anwar Gu Ali El from Baltimore Territory. Islam was. First, I wanted to rise and give praise to the great God Allah, honors to his prophets. I want to give honor to all of you. I want to give honor to your show, your talk show. Very informative. I want to give honor to Moors here, there, and everywhere. The question that I asked, and it's camelbacking off of what Minister Turner Hill was talking about, Grandmaster Chairman, is the woman. And I've noticed on some of my literature, the prophet carrying a woman in his arms. First, I wanted to know, is that symbolic of anything? And we know that men and women are different physically. Is there a divine essence in the woman that's different in the man?
Minister, did you hear the brother's question?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the only difference between a man and a woman is the gender. But you must remember, it's not in the power of flesh to think or bones to reason. So it take a very ignorant brother to put a sister in the corner and tell her to be quiet, shut up, and don't think. Why? Because you're talking to a God there. When you are, if you ever been to the soul plane, you have been there without the body, without the flesh, and you've seen what a real woman think like, then, you know, it ain't, she don't have no breast and no butt and all the rest of that stuff. Not there, okay? That's what you got to deal with, exactly who she is. Because on this plane, we get caught up on what the carnal eyes see, what the carnal nose smell, and what the whole thing, the touch and feel, the whole nine. That's what we call falling in love. So that means if you fell in it, it's already got to be beneath wherever you used to be or where you should have been at. So when it comes down to how to appreciate women, then you recognize, it's like the term they use in Sanskrit in India, they say namaste. That means to recognize the God that's in her. This is how you, the prophet puts it this way. Says the woman is not even acting right like the God that she is, the goddess that she is. Say, give her two apples. Because one of them, she might throw back at the other one, she's going to smile and eat it. Okay? So that means that you're going to give her the lessons of divinity, the gift of the God that's in you. And that's going to bring out the God that's in her. If you notice, and I know, Anwar, I know you know what I'm talking about, because if you notice, you'll find a woman anywhere at any level, no matter how low a man falls, you'll find a woman right down there with him. You fall right there, okay, how low he can fall. If he's in a drug junkie back, there's a woman right there, drugged and junkie back right along with him. No matter how far he falls, a woman will fall right down with him. So what is that telling you? That's letting you know right there that if she can fall with you, she can also rise with you.
Right.
But she's got the same God attributes in her that to be able to go to the highest heights. Okay? So there is no, the same God that made you made her. When the prophet asked the question, and the question they say, who made you? It didn't say who made the man, who made the woman. It said who made you.
Right.
So that's my answer.
Right. I kind of wanted to, maybe I might have been in, put it the wrong, because I noticed in our first few chapters, I know the woman is the first teacher. You know, I guess that's what, in reference, I was trying to
put out there.
Okay. That's true. The reason why she's the first teacher, because she's the pure soul. But you must remember, it's the seed that's perfect.
Right.
It's perfect at the source of which it comes. Okay? But a child is as perfect as a mother is. All
right.
Right? So if her soul, if she is the soul, it has not been perfected to the goddess that she is, then how is she going to raise a child?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. Thank you.
No problem on this end.
I appreciate your question, brother. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. You're doing a wonderful.
Thank you. Divine Minister, we have about 29 minutes left, and so I'm going to go in here and go back over the announcements one more time. And for those of you who have tuned in midway into the broadcast, if you want to go back and re-listen to this broadcast from the beginning, you simply go to ancientblacksinasia.blogspot.com. And also, if you are interested in purchasing the books, Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation, that's been written by the Divine Minister, and the Book of Ali, you simply go to moorishamericangov.org, and either you can go to sevensealspublications.com, and you can also register there as a citizen of the Moorish American National Government and put your name and your family member's name on the tally. And I like to put a little more emphasis on that. Once you fill in a little short registration form, before you click send, just go down there and look at the big box and add all your family members in there by name, your cousins, aunts, uncles, your uncles, children, grandchildren, everybody. And then you click send. Also, I want to bring everybody's attention that doesn't know that dial in from the broadcast to this broadcast midway. That the Moorish American National Government hosts a national conference call 7 days a week.
On that, Mo.
Yep.
Huckabee?
Mm-hmm.
I have a correction on that. We have gotten rid of that other number for that Monday and Tuesday conference call number. We're using one number now for all calls, and that's the one that we use on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We now also use that same number for Monday and Tuesday. And that's
okay.
The 760 number. We don't use the 218 number anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, the conference call number is 760-569-7100, and the access code is 437-966-pound. And that is the only number that we are using for all 7 days, including the latest conference call on Tuesday night. Same number, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, we cleared that up right quick. Like, no problem. Now, for those of you who are, I'm offering the 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game and How to Play, and those are some articles that I like to give my people. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. And I'll send that to you as an email attachment. Also, I've been kicked off of Facebook. And for those of you who are accustomed to listening to the broadcast that I post there, reading the articles for your education that I post there. So if you're interested in having access to my wall, Tahaka's Institute, Tahaka's Moorish American Group, just simply send me a friend request. I'll go ahead and grant that, and you'll have access. And also, you can type my name into your browser if you just Google that, and all the places that I am and where all the broadcasts are being posted, you can have access to that. And the way you spell my name is Tahaka, T-A-R-H-A-K-A, Amana, A-M-A-A-N-A, and then Elbey, E-L, and then B-E-Y. And if you would type that into your Google browser, that'll give you everywhere that I am at. And so I just wanted to add that information before we go on to the next segment. And Divine Minister, my next question to you is for those people, our people that are still joining groups and clubs and organizations, can you give us one definite clarity on how they would profit from joining the groups and clubs and organizations versus become a citizen of their own government? Can we clarify that one more time?
Well, the one thing they can do, Brother Tiger, is this. Whenever, if you are already presently a member of a non-governmental organization, be it a civic or religious organization, it doesn't really matter, especially if it's a Moorish Science Temple, et cetera, those that call themselves Moors or Mirrors or whatever. The thing about it, if you are presently a member or a leader, and this is a special thing, then we want to personally extend an invitation to you to come on home and help us get our testicles out the sand together, okay? Now, what that means is this, is that we're not here on a competitive level. We are not here in any kind of way to distort or stir up the murky ether. We're here for one thing and one thing only, and that is to follow in the footsteps of Noble Dwali, hold and in its entirety. Now, we do realize that no man is an island, no man lives unto himself. We understand that. However, we realize that also no man is a prophet, except the prophet. So what we're going to do, that's to say that we all don't know the way. Noble Dwali do. And he has left his footprints clearly cut. So we want to take this time to extend an open-arm invitation to the Moorish America. We are going to the UN. We are going to represent all 60 million Moorish Americans. And we are also going to become the leaders of the rest of the nation of the earth, just like it's also been prophesied. Dwali said that if you don't believe he's a prophet, then watch his prophecies. That was one of his prophecies, that we would be the last leaders to lead the nation of the earth back to peace again. Okay? So, and that's going to happen. So I want to extend this opportunity to those who, you know, if you're comfortable, we'd rather you stay where you're at than to bring confusion. But if you realize that our people is going to make it only when we become a collective, only when we become a successor, then and when we unify, then we extend this avenue. Now, you can remain a Moorish Science Temple and still be a part of the government. And the reason why we say that is because we have temples now that's within the government, even as far north as Canada. We have a temple there that is still a part of the government. Why? Because we are that door that the prophet had. When the prophet had built the Moorish Science Temple, he had two doors on the temple. One, you come in as an NBC, not knowing who you were, and you come in the temple to learn who you are. You learn what a Moorish American is. Then once you found out what a Moorish American is, then you went out the second door to become a guide of the nation. Now, to show you proof of this, he sent out many of his divine ministers, Brother I. Cook Bay, G. Cook Bay out of Chicago. He sent them to a foreign state, all the way to Baltimore, Maryland, to establish temple number 13 and 19 over there in Baltimore. Okay, and they stayed there for 30 years or better before they came back to Chicago. And the reason why they did that, he was dispensing them out to establish temples which was going to lead to Moors becoming guiders of the nation. It was in Baltimore that I got my teaching. In the Moorish Science Temple, I got my teaching. But now look at me now. I'm a guide of the nation now. I'm not a member of the Moorish Science Temple anymore. I'm a graduate. I can't stay. If you enter any school that does not have a door that you can graduate through, then you may not be in school at all. You may be in a penitentiary. You may be in a jail cell. Because every school has its door in, its academic schedule lined up where you can learn, and then it has its door out where you can graduate from and you can put to practice what you have learned. That's the school. And the Moore Scientific of America was set aside, as all these schools were set aside, to teach us what? Our nationality, and teach us the Divine Creed for a particular reason. So we'll extend this invitation to you. And you can contact me through my email. That's Exhuming of a Nation. It means just that. Digging up a nation. Exhuming of a Nation at hotmail.com or through either one of our websites. Or you can feel free to call me at my at the consulate headquarters here in Virginia, 434-676-1555. That's 434-676-1555. And we leave the invitation with love, and we hope you receive it with love. And again, if you want to stay where you're at, that's fine too. You won't be there long, but you're welcome to do that too. We're still going to love you just the same.
Okay. Well, Divine Minister, and for all of you all who are listening, I have another announcement, and that is Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Moorish Talk Live 100 at Block Talk Radio. We will have a member of the Moorish Science Temple of America by the name of Abba Lord. He's going to be on here with us as my guest, and he's going to be shedding some light on the history of the Moorish Science Temple of America, as well as answering some other questions that are important for us to know. He is also the author of a book called The Origin of the Temple, Noble Drew Ali, MSTA, The Movement That Started It All. And so that's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night here. And so for those of you who can make it here, we'd love to have you. And you can call in at the regular number for questions and comments at area code 310-982-4184. And one other thing that I neglected to mention, that I also offer one of the most comprehensive libraries. And you can access that by simply contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And we can get that to you. I'm going to go on. We only have 17 minutes left. So if there's anybody else out there that's listening to the broadcast, the Divine Minister is here. And if you have any questions, now is the time to ask him. He's right here with us. And I'm sure that he'll do his best to give you the best possible answer to the question that you have. So feel free to raise your hand, follow the props on your phone, and I'll notice the little caution sign to the left, and we'll open it up for you. Okay? Now, we're going to go on to the next question here.
I have an announcement, too, if you will. And that announcement is dealing with the printer. For those who want to go to a website and make a donation, for those who make a $100 donation or more, then I will send you a free copy of the Book of Ali, lapel pins, and at least one patch, a national patch for representing your nation. Okay? And that would be free that for those who make at least $100 or more contribution. I will send you a free copy of the Book of Ali, lapel pins, and patch.
Wow. Now, for those of you who don't know what the Book of Ali is, that is a over 700-page book.
That book... That's not the one. That's
your middle freedom right there.
No, that's not the Book of Ali. That's Noble Drew Ali, Exhibit of a Nation. The Book of Ali is a small with the sitting on the camel.
You're saying the Book of Ali. Okay, I thought you were saying okay.
No, you're not talking about Noble Drew Ali. Not that one.
Okay, all right. The Book of Ali.
Yeah, the Book of Ali.
That's just as powerful. Really, that's just as powerful. I read four of them. And that book there, I like to say that I've been listening to this guy. There is a Caucasian who is now on YouTube. I can't trying to find out what his name is, but he is teaching people about the Moors and Noble Drew Ali and the legacy that he bought to the Moors and the cloning of Europeans or Caucasians and Kemet and a whole ball of whites. And he was doing good. I was listening to him, and then I got kind of threw off the track when he told me that George Washington was a Moor. And I said, oh, wait a minute, hold it right here. But anyway, we got that going on inside the United States, too, up on YouTube. And the guy's got a website someplace. But if any of y'all know about that, who he is, you might want to examine that and make sure you got your microscope with you and check that out. But I was listening to him today, and he said that he had spoken to you, Divine Minister, and you was definitely eager to talk to him. And he mentioned your the Swift Angels. He also mentioned your book, and he called your name. And so I thought that was quite interesting, and I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that that, too, is going on inside the United States. So I had to continue to investigate that. I'm going back tomorrow to reexamine that and find out who he is and all of that stuff, and what does he get to get the full scoop of what he's talking about. And I just wanted to put that out there. Once again, for those of you who would like to contribute to the printing equipment and the printing in so that we will have all the literature that we need, you can go to MoorishAmericanGov. Is that MoorishAmericanGov.org?
Yes, it is.
Give you donations. And for a $100 donation, the Divine Minister is going to send you a copy of the Book of Ali and the lapel pin and the other accessories that he spoke about. And and don't forget to, if you have not registered as a citizen of your own government, you can do that right there by going to the registration page and entering all this little brief registration form you fill out and get that done as well. Okay. Divine Minister, do you have anything else that you would like to add before I ask another question?
I just wanted to add that the problem you have with Facebook is a bit unusual. So after the call sometime tonight or tomorrow, give me a call. I think I may have a clue. I personally took my page off of Facebook. I did that purposely. Really didn't have time to keep up with it, for one thing. But what happened to you is sort of unusual. So give me a call. I think we may have a remedy for that, okay?
Okay, I will do that. I just view it as a we better stop this guy situation. Because he is a B-51 bomber. He's driving troops everywhere. So that's the way I viewed it because my account was hijacked, and then Facebook came on. I clicked on a friend request, and Facebook come on and said, "Well, you banned for 30 days," and I said, "Well, okay, no problem," and I forgot about it. And then they come back again. Somebody sent me a request, and I granted it. Then they sent me another message saying, "You've been banned for 30 more days." So I said, "Well, woo. Y'all must really love me." I don't know which one of my broadcasts did it, but something ain't right. So I haven't even been, I've just been telling people to go ahead and send me their friend requests, and I repost the broadcast, and people are sending their requests, and I'm granting them, and I just leave it like that. I haven't even clicked on anybody else to befriend anybody else because, all the people, that I'm clicking on, the majority of them are either Ill, Bays, Ali, or Ill. So, I mean, it's like, wow, okay. I mean, it would appear that the people that I'm befriending are relatives. in some kind of way we got all the same last name, but they just, oh, no, 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 we don't go for sort of that sort of stuff, sir. We got the gathering of the nations. No, we don't. But anyway, I see we have another caller down here, and I think we do. I'm going to go ahead and open up this line. This is area code 313. I'm going to open this line up again and see if this is a new caller here.
Islam.
Islam, Moore.
Islam, Muslim, how you doing, Brother Chaka, baby? This is Brother Chaka here.
Hey, I'm doing just fine, my brother.
What's up, how are you? I'm good. Just like the chairman said, you know, we have a remedy. You see, the prophet, he had a remedy for anything that, first of all, let me say, I should have gave praise and honors first before I spoke, though, earlier. First, let me give praise to Allah and honors to his noble prophet.
Hold on, brother. You cut your box down in the back, the background noise.
Let me speak briefly right quick, because I ain't trying to interrupt the dialogue that you and the brother have going on the conversation, but as far as Facebook, etc., listen, as far as Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of that old nonsense, you know, when the spirit of the great God is moving in the earth, man, you know, you're going to have opposition. And like the chairman said, we ain't into competing, doing this, that. You speak your truth quietly and clearly. You never heard him aggressive in his conversation. You never heard me, whenever you talk to me or any more Samaritan that's a part of this government, get aggressive in their conversation when they deal with the public or what have you. Those who get aggressive in their conversation on Facebook or wherever, I told the chairman I was going to take mine down. Well, I left it up there. Go and look, 65 friends. You look at most people, they have maybe 1,000 or 100,000, et cetera. Some of them, if they movie stars, got 1,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't bear no splendor on the truth when you demonstrating what love is.
Exactly.
We don't worry about that. Just like the chairman said, though, you know, we got good morals, we have bad morals. But I'm not in a position, he not in a position. I ain't never heard that brother deny no brother, whether in the temple or whatever. But don't deal with that brother, because he ain't right. He ain't never said nothing like that. He always weighed it in the scales of what they call love, which is justice. And what the sad part of the whole situation is, man, why can't everybody acknowledge what the truth is and follow it? And that's sad among our people. See, we're not worried about the Europeans. It's our own people that try to impede our progress. They can call themselves Wanubians or whatever. They can come from Nicaragua. They can come from the other side of the continent, but let a brother leave here, an Asiatic, a Morris American, a NBC, and go over there to Africa, or so-called Africa, because we know that that was named by a European conqueror, and try to say he's African American and see what they do to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad, man. That is sad, man. It hurt me deep within my heart, man. That's all I have to say, and I ain't trying to interrupt y'all's conversation, but it's deep, though. It's real deep, brother, though, when you look at the whole situation. And I'm speaking to you right now from my heart, though. That's deep.
Well, I understand, and I appreciate you chiming in on that, man. And we the clock is running down now, and I'm going to have to go ahead and get ready to close down. And Divine Minister, it's been a pleasure having you back on again, and I will be tuning back in to our online national conference calls, and I have my paper and pencil ready. And for those of you who are new here, When you dial into the conference, national conference call, make sure you have paper and pencil ready and take notes so you can learn this stuff and re-go over your notes and save these notes for future reference. And because there's a lot of powerful information being delivered, and it's all for our education and nourishment as a nation. And that conference call is held 7 days a week. We're asking that you call in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that will give everybody a chance. We hope we get everybody to come in on time, and so when the teaching begins, there's no interruption. So if you dial in at 7:30 p.m., it'd be 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it'd be greatly appreciated. And so with all of that said, Divine Minister, it's time for me to close down. I didn't get a chance for another question, but I think we did a fantastic job in delivering the information this evening. And so I just want to say thank you for being my guest again. And
all is well.
I'll be contacting you after the broadcast is over, and so we can discuss this thing.
I thank you also. Thank you so much. And peace, Moors. I love you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we come to the close of the broadcast. I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And until next time.